I am Audrey Johnson, and this is On the Couch with Audrey J. Welcome back to the final segment of my conversation with Jackie Thompson, Lisa Chombly, and Ruth Azardi.
And that is because you really need to truly vet people. And I didn't always vet people, not just the people who come to work for you, but the people that you allow in your personal space. Yeah. And you can't hand over trust just to anyone.
No,
and it's because as we all know, I'm sure we've all been like bamboozled by someone
that
we thought was a decent human being and they turned out not to be. So that was, there were a lot of tricky folks around Prince because, you know, that someone with that kind of genius and that kind of money behind him and that kind of stature and reputation, it brings out like a lot, there's a lot of good people who want to be around that, who want to like really focus on the work. And then there's twice, three times, if not seven times as many people who are the antithesis of that. Those people, they're like a swarm of cockroaches, and they're hard to kill. And just when you've gotten a couple, you know, a couple more like come out from under the fridge, and like you're, you know, it's just it can be, the entertainment industry is not for the weak hearted. It's definitely, you have to have a thick skin. You have to have, if you really want to succeed, you really have to have an acumen, not only for business, but to work and to be consistent with your work and to have a work ethic. I know that there are a lot of terrible people who fail up, but they do so by means that are not necessarily long lasting. There's no longevity in being a scammer or, you know, a con artist or whatever. And eventually your reputation will catch up to you. And
absolutely.
And I feel like I know that when someone like myself or Lisa or Jackie or any other number of people that worked with him that were crystal, that were just people that understood what being professional is like and always, you know, bringing Prince into, always representing Prince in the most, I mean, I know I talk a lot of smack, but honestly, when I was working, I did my best to bring the very best of Prince into whatever conversation I was having, because, and even Prince told me himself, but he was mostly clowning on what I would wear or what my hair looked like. But in actuality, we were all representatives of Prince. And so how we conducted ourselves was really imperative on how Prince was perceived. So Jackie had mentioned something about like in the early 80s when people would say, well, you know, you couldn't look in his eyes and you couldn't, there was this sort of asshole mystique that was created. I'm not sure how much of that was Prince or how much of it was handlers or people who wanted to create fear and antagonism.
White folks, he didn't
men
like.
Working Sorry. With Prince during that time.
And I think people do that just to keep themselves safe
and territorial as well.
Exactly. I mean? Like, and to keep others at so bay that are coming into the situation.
It's very egocentric in some ways.
Some serious hard lessons that you all took away from that experience, and
definitely
brought into your career now, which is what I want to jump into, is what you guys are doing now. What are you looking forward to? What's keeping you hopeful? What's keeping you all motivated? And I'm gonna start with Lisa. Lisa, what's going on with you?
Well, so one of the things that I really stayed with me from what Prince taught us is he said, think big and then think bigger. So that was really important when having ideas, and it was so cool to be in his orbit to see someone create something from nothing and just create new ideas and new ways to do things. And then he would break rules. Like, you know, when he, I think so. Ruth, when he had given the copy of Musicology with a ticket, with buying a ticket or something about the newspaper. Anyway, when he had reached platinum status with that album, I think RIAA changed the rules mm-hmm. after that, you know, like, so he did things that made people change rules. So that to me just always stood out. And so what I've been doing for the last 10 years is creating a speaker company. We sell speakers, for Pro Audio.
Reftone.
And yeah, Reftone. And it's been such a journey, but it has been so rewarding. And being a reference speaker for the industry and being being partners with Dave in that endeavor, and you know, making products for our peers. And so it's really important. And so for the future, we've got some cool products coming up, and to stay ahead of the curve. And so, yeah, it's very exciting. And being able to have that foundation of working with him so early on in my career, because I always say that was the pinnacle of my engineering career. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So I was like 21, but I was at the pinnacle. But after that, I worked with some amazing musicians as well. Just going into this businesswoman manufacturing chapter of my life has been really great.
Do you ever think you'll get back into the studio as a recording engineer? Is that something that you still want to do anymore or not?
That's a thing, is like I was so spoiled as a recording engineer, because I got to record Prince. And then when I moved to LA, I recorded George Duke and lots of like the best session musicians in LA, and even did some sessions for Justin Timberlake. And I just, you know, got to work with some more people. And for me, that's okay. I feel like when I was engineering, because production was my thing mm-hmm. and business was always my thing. So engineering, I would really need to be super inspired. And I kind of tell people, like, you know, unfortunately, most of my inspiring clients are passed away. So no, mm-hmm. I'm good. My speakers are in the studio, and it's kind of how a way that I am still in the studio. So yeah.
Gotcha. That's great. What about you, Jackie?
Well,
you have lots of things going on, and so let you just talk about the things that you want to talk about. And if you could talk a little bit too about the foundation and maybe what your long-term plans are for that.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot to unpack, but, I got into, you know, being fearless, trying new things. And as Lisa said, that, you know, what Prince would, you know, say, what was that exact quote? So I get it right, Lisa.
Oh, think big and then think bigger.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I thought big and it became bigger. And it was an agave spirit company that I, drummed up in my brain in 2011, the first thing was to really kind of create a brand, what it was going to be. And was kind of getting burned out in music for a bit. I needed a change of pace and to do something different. And so did that, started this new brand new company. Didn't even know about tequila that much or an agave spirits, and really kind of learned it and worked it and became passionate about that particular spirit. And started the company and it's grown. It's been 10 years and it's really, really taking off now. During that time, I stepped down from there as the day-to-day, but went back into, because I started missing music and my tribe, so to speak, and getting creative. And so I really just got back into music again, and creative and branding and strategy. It just kind of grew from I can do all these things. You know, I have this creative talent to do branding and strategy and building all the, you know, that into this consulting company that I have now that I do, which is, it takes on different lives with different people that I work with. I work with a WNBA player. She's got a book coming out. So I'm helping her bring her book to fruition and to the public. That's going to be happening. So it's strategy, it's branding, it's like really helping her craft that. But I do that with different companies. And the company that I started back in 2012 was called Revel. And it really gave me the ability to do all the different things that I felt talented at doing, which was, you know, creating the creative part of it, the creative directing part of it, the putting the business part together, from the business plan, writing the business plan to the marketing strategy. So, and building that, but then also getting into how to do the business side, which is, you know, bringing in investors and understanding Series A, Series B, all the different cap tables, all the stuff I didn't have any clue about, I learned from that. And so I take that and I'm building that now in what I do and with different clients and what their needs are. And so I'll be building different brands and helping different people. And that's what I love doing. And it's, some of it's music still. I've helped build an independent label with different artists on that, from scratch to working with WNBA players, to working with diversity and inclusion companies and helping re-strategize and what they're doing. So it's just whatever I feel like I want to do, working with cool people and cool things. I just want to work on a higher level with people that are doing higher level things. That I just have to love working with you, and I have to love what I do. And so I'm at a space in my life where I'm going to choose that. And I have been able to, I've been blessed to be able to be in a space to choose the people I want to work with, the teams that I want to be around. And what Ruth had said, you know, letting people in, keeping people in that you trust, that you love, and that you want to be around. I want, like, everybody I work with, I could go break bread with. That's how it's got to be. I want to be able to go and have dinner and enjoy. If I can enjoy your company and have dinner with you, those are the people I want to be around. So that's where I'm at in my life right now. And it's I feel really good about it. And, you know, Prince has played a big place in my heart as far as just like he's, you know, helped with like a roadmap for me. On what to do and what not to do too, right?
Yeah.
So it's not always about he did everything perfect. Those things I learned some of the biggest lessons by some of the choices he made that weren't always the best choices.
Mm-hmm. So. That's just as important, equally as important, if not more sometimes.
Yeah.
Ruth?
I have to say, once again, I've forgotten what the question was. Oh my God, I have long COVID. I'm going to blame it on long COVID. I literally, like, I space out for, like, I mean, I heard everything Jackie said, but I totally, and Lisa, but I've been like, what? Huh? Where am I? What day is it today?
Basically, it's kind of what you're doing now, what you're hopeful for in the future, kind of where are you going, that sort of thing.
Okay. Thank you for repeating that. I'm like, am I the only one here with Alzheimer's? So after Prince, I just freelanced. There was a time where I just actually couldn't work. And I've been freelancing. Because of working with Prince, you basically can do nearly everything except for like neurosurgery.
You made it a Holiday Inn, you probably could.
I mean, literally, you absolutely, if you go to a third world country, you could probably do neurosurgery. Just Google it, YouTube it while you're at it. No, but seriously, like you literally feel like you could walk away and just slay dragons. And that's probably one of the best feelings to have, is literally knowing that you are capable of doing anything. So I've been consulting and I just do freelance work and I do everything. Well, in the beginning, I'm going to be honest, like I'm going to keep it real. I could only manage to walk dogs.
right after Fritz. That's all I wanted to do. Don't give me people. I cannot deal with people. I will walk your dog. And then I did some forensic accounting work. And then I did, you know, I did a variety of things. And then I just started consulting for other people. And the last consulting gig I had was working with the Hollywood Commission with Anita Hill, Kathy Kennedy, and Nina Shaw, and Frida Kaper-Klein, who is a venture capitalist in Northern California. And these women are amazing, astronomically amazing. And it was like such a joy to see and to work with these women who have, their eye on the prize, and they work towards, you know, trying to implement a system for the entertainment industry, you know, to minimalize, sexual harassment, as well as not reinventing the wheel, but really honing in on diversity and inclusion. And it's tedious. It's like a tedious process to go through the corporations and get, especially entertainment as a whole, because there is no hierarchies of sorts. So it's been a very interesting time. I spent a very interesting nearly 2 years with them. Currently, I've just decided, I had talked to Jackie about it. I am doing my own pivot. And I'm doing my own Prince moment, and that is to reinvent myself. And I have taken great strides into going back into writing, which is what I think I'm better apt at, because I definitely have a hard time with people. So I'm like, writing you can do by yourself. Or very minimal amount of people. So I'm going back into that. I have started, as both ladies on here know, I started with, I need to close the chapter on my Prince history. And so I had a difficult time with the grieving process. And so my way of grieving was writing. And so I ended up writing, I'm probably at nearly 100,000 words, sort of like a memoir on my time with Prince. And so I kind of just want to finish writing that out, whether I do anything with it or not. I just have to finish. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I'm going to go forward and see what the world in writing has for me. So it's kind of a little late in the game. But the one thing I've learned with Prince is, like, the one thing that I have actually from my time with Prince is I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care if people think, like, I'm too old to be starting anew again, or I'm not young enough.
Never
or
too
I'm
late.
Whatever.
Never too.
Or, yeah, like, I literally don't care. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And, if it doesn't pan out, I'll pivot to something else. But for now, like, you can't just give it a once go to see if it pans out or not. You have to persevere. And if this is something I really want to do, the grieving process has taken me on this route. But if I want to continue it, because this was something I had planned on doing anyway before I got the job with Prince, then I'm going to probably see it through as much as possible. And if at some point in time, you know, I don't think I'll ever stop writing, but, you know, I do have to, like, pay my rent. So if it doesn't pan out, you'll see me.
Your dog walking.
You'll see me hustling on a street corner with a dog.
I was like, is that Ruth and her dog?
That's me walking dog. Shit, I don't care. I love that. Because I gotta tell you,
no, it's so cute. Dogs rock. I
love them.
Yes, with no conditions. It's unconditional love.
Yeah,
and food. Besides their food, you got to eat them.
Yeah. Well, I like literally in my car, I have a bag of treats for dogs. I don't own a dog, but I have nothing, because I have so many friends who have dogs, and I love every single one of them.
Wait, you haven't seen Hawk yet.
I have not seen
Hawk. Oh my god! So Audrey, I moved into a house, and Julian has always wanted a dog. He said since he, you know, for 13 years, and he's 13. So he's, he's wanted one since he was
his
born.
Whole life.
His whole life. He's wanted one. So I've been, you know, on Maite's rescue, and, you know, I'd been, you know, on that for a while. Cause I knew that when I got a dog, it would be through a rescue and I was going to support Maite. And so, got into the house, backyard, everything. And I'm like, okay, it's time for a dog. And so it just kept popping up on the IG feed. And I was like, ooh, it was a cute little pug. And so so I hit Maite up and I said, hey, is Hawk still available? And she says, yeah, girl. And then she vetted me like crazy. Like, yeah, now you know that when Julie goes off to school, who's going to have the dog after? I was like, me, I get it. I understand. She says, you know, I had asked that. She says, you know, you're my girl, but, you know, girlfriends and all, but, you know, I have to ask that. So anyway, so Ruth, I have a Mexican pug rescued from Mexico from and Lisa, and his name is Hawk. And so he's been at the house for a couple weeks now. And long story short, I realized that he still speaks Spanish.
Oh, I love it.
Duh. Like I had been trying, like, right? Like, cause he's from the streets of Mexico, right? And so like, I'd been like, hey, let's go, you know, this type of thing. And so he would just come and be like, what are you? Yeah, so check it out. So I go, Hawk, vamanos. And he turned around and was like ready to roll. I was like, oh my God.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. He speaks Spanish. So I got to.
Some Spanish so man.
I have a Spanish.
Oh my God. I can help you translate. Fuck.
Hijo de tu madre, entrate en ese coche.
And I'm trying to figure out how do you say sit down, sit?
Siéntate.
Like, siéntate.
Siéntate. Yeah.
Siéntate.
So anyway, that's my world right now with dogs. It's awesome. So it does have a Prince story to it in a way because of Maite. And awesome. I thought I'd bring that in there, Audrey, for you.
I want to thank you ladies for spending this time with me and being my very first guest on the show. I can't thank you enough. I couldn't think of a better way to start off this journey for me. And I want to thank you for reminding us of this part of his legacy as far as empowering women, as far as instilling fearlessness in people, and making you understand that you can do anything that you can think. Mm-hmm. I think those are three very powerful things in his legacy that I saw woven through the conversation that we had today. So thank you for joining me on the couch. And I hope that you will return in the future and keep us posted on all of the things that you have in store. Thank you again, Linda.
Audrey, I want to say something real quick too, is that it's so great that are empowered to do your thing, and you're envisioning, you saw it, and now you're creating a reality. And then you said, I'm going to ask people, you know, be a part of it. And I want to thank you for asking me to be on in your space and on your couch.
Thank you. Thank you for saying yes.
Thank you, Audrey. I hope I didn't leave a stain on your couch.
Oh my God.
Ruth.
I mean, you know.
If you haven't gotten your calling for comedian by now.
I know, right?
Right.
Only calling.
So that might be if the writing falls through, maybe I'll go back.
No, that has to be a part of it.
Part of it.
Comedian is your comedy is writing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It would have been great on Living Color.
Thank you so much, Audrey. Good luck in the future. This is awesome.
Thank you, Lisa. For being a part of it. I appreciate it. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for joining me on the couch. Please like, follow, share, and subscribe so you're notified when new episodes are available as we continue to look at the impact of the legacy of Prince Rogers Nelson.